Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. Tonight, it's the final NRL game of the year. And congratulations to the Penrith Panthers that just won the final as comprehensively as you possibly can. And in utterly dominant fashion, have just beaten Parramatta 28-12. I'm going to do a fairly short, rapid reaction to the game, go through the main points. Pretty much every major moment in that game was in Penrith's favour until the very end. Please comment your thoughts. I want to go through a couple of talking points along the way, ask a little bit of historical context, and interact with your comments as well. But we shouldn't need too long here. One thing you guys can do me a big favour with, as long with hitting like, sharing any feedback you've got, is I'm not watching the after game show, so I don't know who's been awarded the Clive Churchill Medal or if they've awarded that yet, because I am doing this just 10 minutes after the full-time whistle has sounded. And whether our tips have gone well or not for the game is going to hinge on who wins the Clive Churchill. We did win one try scorer bet, a few other bets sunk with missing out on a try scorer here and there and the margin just absolutely blowing out. But the one bet that we're riding and that will make it a good grand final and would be a great way to sign off 2022 would be if Dylan Edwards gets the Clive Churchill. I think he got it. I think he did enough. I want to talk about what happened in the 57th and 58th minute, but let me know what you guys thought there. Or does it go to Cleary? It's one of those two, right? So it's Cleary or it's Dylan Edwards. So let me know when that gets announced. Maybe we can announce it live on the pod. Let me know who you think probably deserved to win it. You know, it's such a shame. And I guess after I criticised the AFL a week ago and said, how do you lose by 80 points in the biggest game of the season? Like, how disappointing is that for neutral fans? And then we get a blowout and people are commenting and Dylan Edwards has just won the Clive Churchill Medal. So there you go, guys. That is the beauty of following the Tripod, because I gave that out on Wednesday. Dylan Edwards, $11. Super juicy odds as well. And, you know, Dabble has gotten on board and sponsored the pod this year. And that's the beauty that you can just copy a bet and you can get notifications following someone. So you beauty, I kind of felt like it was headed more towards Nathan Cleary. And I was worried that they do the early crow with the award. And they, like, I've heard that sometimes they'll literally get the votes in plenty of time and they'll decide the thing with 15 or 20 to go. And I was just hoping that they wouldn't go too early and just give it to Nathan, because you can't go wrong giving Nathan man of the match. He's such a superstar player. Of course, he won it last year. And I said that in my write-up, the fact that Cleary won it last year and the fact that Edwards has had such an awesome season that everyone really appreciates what he does. In fact, he actually won the Panthers player of the season, not Cleary. So very well deserved, and I'll talk about the moments where he sealed it there, but how good is that if you copied that? And as you can see there, about 150 people copied it. Now, it was only about 70 or 80 people copied it before the odds started getting pushed in, but that's still, I don't think people will be complaining even if they got the lower odds. But if you got 11s about Edwards for man of the match, that's pretty sweet. So that's a nice way to cap off the season. All the glory to Penrith. Let me kind of hit your comments there. Of course, everyone's just saying how great Penrith were, and a great effort by the Eels to get there, but it's disappointing. One question I've got for Parramatta fans is, what hurts more? Does it hurt more to get to the promised land and to really believe and to think this is our year and you just really believe your team's going to get it done, and then after 10 minutes you kind of feel like the game's almost over, and within half an hour it basically was over? I kind of had a chuckle when the Channel 9 commentator said, Staines has scored the try that might seal it for Penrith, when we all knew the game was sealed, you know, at least 40 minutes earlier. So does that hurt more because your team didn't really fire a shot? Or does it hurt more to be South Sydney? Remember, just 12 months ago, South Sydney, you throw an intercept try, you miss a sideline conversion, you lose by two. You know, at the end of the day, if you're not first, you're last, it's going to hurt. Like, it is going to hurt, and that's fine. That's why we love sport, because we care about it so much. We care about what happens, and we love it when we win, and it does hurt when we lose. But I don't know. Like, I did tip Parramatta $12 earlier this year to win the comp. So I was kind of quite disappointed myself midway through the first half. Of course, a couple of bets going down with the game not being as close as we hoped it could be. Always knew there was a scenario that Penrith could blow the Eels out, and it was going to come down to how well could Parramatta play, and could Parramatta play basically their best? And when the game began, I felt like it was going to take Parramatta's absolute best to have a chance in this one, and that Parramatta was going to have to start really strong. And of course, it was the Panthers that started strong, and they never really looked back. One other question I want to ask you guys, where does this put the Panthers historically? They have lost just 11 games in the last three seasons. They've played all the way through the last three seasons, right until the final game of the season. They've won the last two competitions. As I said, they've made the last three grand finals. And if you dive a little deeper in those 11 losses and something like 68 wins over that period of time, but a couple of those losses was when they played the whole B team because they were resting everyone after an Origin game, or, for example, in round 25 this year where we had some really big wins against Penrith Panthers. And winning against Penrith Panthers is few and far between, and this team is not even close to done. So Kikau's leaving, right? Let me know who else. Coruscant's leaving, but you've got Kenny, you've got what Sonny Luke did, the fact that this team won Jersey Flegg, they were dominant in the New South Wales Cup, then they won the state championship as well, smashing Norths earlier today. Like, this team is stacked to have an absolute era of dominance. And the other thing I look at in a team when I try and decide how many more years they're going to be great for is kind of what age are their key positions. And you'd say most of the star players, most of the key position players are still absolutely in their prime and in their 20s. And it's scary to think how dominant Penrith could be for a long time when just what they've done already in the last 3 years already stacks up. Of course, the Roosters won back-to-back comps in 18 and 19, but you feel like this is every bit as impressive, if not more, especially throwing the third GF. You start going back, when was the last time anyone else won back-to-back? You're going back into the early to mid-90s, the Brisbane Broncos. So that's already the territory this Penrith team is in, and they could have plenty more to go. Let me keep putting your comments up on the screen. Podonis is in. So Podonis was at the game, which is why he's not going to be able to jump in with the noise and with the connection he's getting there. Says that tackle from Edwards won in the Clive Churchill, and if that didn't, he had a try assist about a minute later. So that's the headline for us, winning $11 when Clive Churchill's pretty sweet. Okay, what I was going to do, guys, going through the game, as I say, after about 10 minutes or, no, I should say after about 20 minutes, it was probably pretty evident who was going to win and that wasn't going to be that close. But nevertheless, I noted down the key moments in the game. So I'm just going to go through them quickly, and please share your thoughts. So we've got 12th minute. Crichton scores the first try, a relatively soft try, like an inside ball. Edwards had the try assist there as well. Lane got turned inside out. Crichton strides through, scores close to the sticks. It's the start that Parramatta had to avoid, and it's Stephen Crichton, a dynamic centre that he is, crashing over, first try. And what was interesting to me about that was Parramatta got the first penalty in the game. And rather than kicking for touch, or rather than actually having an attacking set in Penrith's half, they went for the first tackle kick. And then it was only a minute or two later that on the back of Cleary's kicking game and on the back of the Panthers forwards that were just winning the ruck, Penrith was on the attack again and opening Parramatta up for the first try. So in retrospect, there's no point going over these moments if this happened, if that happened. Some Parramatta fans might question some refereeing calls as well. There's no point going over it as if it would have changed the result. Like, the team that was pretty much always going to win this game won it in the end. Now, I hate to say that when we're a punting podcast, and I hate when people say it was never in doubt, because we could have tipped -8.5. We could have tipped 13 plus on Wednesday. There was always a scenario where Parramatta could make a game of this. But having watched that 80 minutes, there's no denying, even if you can flip a bunch of key moments and a bunch of key decisions, there was only one winner based on the performances today. So that was the Crichton try in the 12th minute, trying to put up the key moments. And 6 minutes later, To'o scores as well. It's 10-0 to Penrith. We did cash the $3 tip on Dabble, the Penrith try scorers bet at least. In the 28th minute, for me, this is where it's officially game over. There's a penalty goal in there as well for a dropout that goes over the sideline. So it was 12-0. And then 18-0 when Sorensen scored off a Cleary left foot kick. And maybe that's what caught the defence napping. And the skill of this man and why he could have also won the Clive. Drops it on the left boot. But what was kind of wacky about this Sorensen try was it was a fifth tackle. So you know that Penrith's most likely going to kick on the Panthers goal line. And Gutho thought he sniffed something out on the short side. And if you watch the play the ball, Gutho darts to the short side, leaves the whole length of the field for Cleary to exploit. And as I say, he drops it on his boot. And Sorensen makes it 18-0. And 18-0 was the halftime score as well. A couple of things happened before halftime. Parramatta got another penalty, finally got a chance to attack. Now, again, you're clutching at straws if you think that the game could have been any different. But, you know, you're trying to think, oh, has Parramatta got any chance? They needed to score before halftime. They finally get a chance to actually put on some plays in Penrith's halves, and it's instantly an obstruction against Parramatta. I thought maybe a slightly harsh one. So that was in the 33rd minute. Instantly, Parramatta goes from on the attack to second tackle, giving away a penalty, and they're defending again. And they had only like under 40% of the possession in the first half, so it was pretty ugly. And in fact, that led to a really close call and an opportunity for Penrith to score fourth try before halftime with a kick in behind. Kickout gets to it first, kicks it again, and he's just waiting for it to sit up perfectly. And Wonga Blake gets across and denies Kickout a try. And actually, Parramatta regathered that dropout. So they got the ball back there. So they dodged a bullet to not be down 20-plus at halftime. And if you had kick out for a anytime try scorer, that moment probably hurt you. And the Eels did get that final set of the half. It was only in the final minute of the first half that the Eels got to play the ball in Penrith's 20. So how crazy is that? Put up a bomb, Luai defuses it, 18-0 at halftime. And yeah, as I say, let me know what your thoughts are. Kind of historical context. Tom says a three-peat. Someone did back that and tip that in our group. You got $10 for Penrith to win three comps in a row. Now, this was after they'd won one comp. So that was offered by Top Sport this year. So basically the $10 was really for Penrith to win this year and next year. At the time they offered it, Penrith was around a $3 chance this year. And then they're probably thinking they're around a $3 shot next year, or roughly $3.50 or so. So obviously now you're sitting pretty if you got $10 on Penrith for a three-peat. And hey, why stop there? Let me know kind of what your other thoughts were at halftime. I also thought the Undertaker, he liked unders, and the game went over by half a point, but he went first half unders under 19.5. So that 18-0 halftime scoreline cashed the Undertaker's bet. Both our same game multis were done. We had Parramatta with a 10.5 start in the first half, down 18-0. And we had the largest lead to not exceed 12. So we went for a bet, and I didn't really want to do a bet that, you know, went on the scenario where Penrith just smashed Parra. So if anything, we're guilty of sometimes being reluctant to tip something if we don't really want to see it. And in the biggest night of the year, you want a competitive game. And sometimes you are guilty of kind of talking yourself into, oh, yeah, it'll be a great game. Oh, yeah, Parramatta can do this. And sometimes you've got to be more realistic and sit back, because we did also make a few comments about why Penrith might win this game really well. Podonis said, and other people have said this, Parramatta probably played their grand final in the prelim. You know, I talked about the rest disparity. This Panthers side's so fresh. Didn't play week two of the finals, didn't play round 25. Last time there was a grand final where the stronger team had a rest advantage was 2017. And this was a really similar grand final to 2017, which, if you recall, was the Storm beating the Cowboys. And that one, I think, was something like 34-4. And if not for those kind of double late tries by the Eels, you would have got a very similar scoreline. And another thing I said on the Wednesday pod was when I watched the prelim last week, and Penrith were down 12-0 and absolutely on the ropes against South Sydney, and they got two tries in the final 4 minutes of the first half, I turned to Barney and said, they just won the comp. That was the moment for somebody to beat Penrith. Souths couldn't do it. Souths bottled it. Yes, it was 12-all at halftime. Souths could have still won the game second half, but realistically they didn't. So Penrith scored 20 unanswered second half. Penrith came out in this game and scored 28 unanswered. So let that sink in. Against Souths and against Parramatta, two of the strongest teams of this year, Penrith scored 60 straight points. And that's why it's one thing to win back-to-back competitions, but to win them in this kind of dominant fashion. Now, obviously, last year easily could have gone either way, but they were the best team of all of the season last year, and there's no denying who the best team of 2022 was. And as I say, at the business end of the season, when it all matters the most, Penrith scored 60 unanswered against two competition heavyweights, going back to 4 minutes to go in the prelim last week until the 76th minute of the grand final tonight. So you just give them all the credit in the world. And the scary thing, as I keep saying, is it doesn't look like they're winding down. Let's jump into the second half. You know, you're still trying to cling on to hope just for the sake of a competitive game. Obviously, the Eels will need to score first, but To'o is the first on the board, getting his second try. People were throwing his name out there in Clive Churchill. I know Nicole did tip it at 51-1. Maybe if he got a hat trick and maybe had another couple of moments, maybe if Edwards doesn't do what he did in a few minutes' time. But anyway, the To'o try. Now, look, I thought this was an obstruction. So again, share your comments. It's not an excuse. I know Parramatta fans will be blowing up because, you know, you're going to be looking for reasons why it went wrong. And, you know, Kikau runs into Moses. I know Moses sells it, wraps his hand around him. But to me, I'm going to be a bit cynical here, but I just thought, all right, thanks very much, Bunker. I think it was Atkins. You don't want to give us a close game. You're going to call a very marginal one against the team that's already down 22-0 or 18-0, as if Penrith needs any help. So I thought that was pretty bogus. I did think it was a kick-out obstruction. And a few minutes later, Cleary stripped the ball off a Panthers player. It was called a penalty. Panthers challenged it. And then the Bunker said it was a one-on-one strip, which was marginal, but okay, if it was a one-on-one strip, it was definitely stripped towards the Eels' try line. So it was a knock-on for me. And the Bunker overturned it and said it went backwards. And instead of it being a penalty to the Eels, or at least possession to the Eels, it was possession to the Panthers. So that's two moments in a couple of minutes where Parramatta fans are probably going, oh, thanks very much, Bunker. You give us absolutely no hope. Some people saying, wow, someone won $5K, but only $7 odds on tab. I know we had a few hundred on that DL, so we'll be happy with that one. At 11s on Dabble. And oh, someone else saying they had 750 on Edwards. But yeah, Dan Levy actually posted his slip in the group on Wednesday. I think he had 200 in that case on Edwards. So that's, you know, that's a cool couple of K to end the season. Then I thought the Eels were on the board in the 55th minute. Mike Acevo, he beats a couple of defenders. They had an overlap. And my first instinct was a try bombed. And this would have been another winning anytime try score bet for us because we had the Acevo or Blake. But you have to give credit to Crichton because Crichton actually dislodged the ball in the tackle. So it was a great tackle. But a player as strong as Sivo, who finishes as many tries as he does, that was a disappointing moment. And that was just a moment, as I say, this game was over in the first half. But that was a moment where you go, this is just not Parramatta's night whatsoever. The score at that time was still 22-0, which, you know, teams have come back from 22-0 this season, not against this caliber of Penrith side, but teams have come back from 22-0. So, you know, if they'd scored there, would have breathed some life. Instead, you see the Eels heads drop. And how about this? In the 57th minute, this is the moment that, as Podonis commented, probably won us that Clive Churchill bet. The Eels actually make a little break. Reed Marnie throws a dummy. Beautiful little deft grubber on his own 20-meter line. Simonson catches it at pace, beats the defensive line. He's going serious. He's seriously moving. And remember, Simonson's come from rugby seven, so he's used to, like, moving in open space. And it's a one-on-one, and he tries to go around Edwards. And Edwards, it was very reminiscent of that Sattler tackle in 2003, and wraps him up and throws him over the sideline. And that certainly is a moment that gets Penrith even more pumped, and Simonson gets injured on the back of it. And Parramatta's just thinking, what can we do? And legit, the very next set is another Penrith try, and it's 28-0, assisted by Edwards. Pass thrown to him was from Cleary. Again, like, Cleary's got his fingerprints all over this, and I wouldn't have been shocked if Cleary got back-to-back Clive Churchills. But again, it's worth mentioning Edwards had that assist, and I actually made a note in my notepad after an hour The only thing left to decide now is who's going to win the Clive. Everything else has pretty much been decided. So, you know, you beauty, we get the 11s there. And you know, the last 2 points I have in this game are actually Parramatta tries against the run of play. And you might say they're meaningless tries, but we're a punting show. They're not completely meaningless because with 5 minutes to go, there's 28 points in this game. But Gutherson scores with five to go to make it 28-6 and cuts the run of 60 straight points scored by Penrith. And then Jacob Arthur scores again off a 50-metre break with a couple of kicks involved, coming off the bench only a few moments earlier. So I guess it's settled. Jacob Arthur should have been in the starting team if Jacob Arthur had been on there earlier, because Parramatta won the game 6-0 while Jacob Arthur was on. So just imagine if Jacob Arthur had been out there the whole game. I guess that's the only thing we can read into that. But as I say, no such thing as a truly meaningless try when you're punting, because a lot of people either had under or over 39 or 38 and a half. And that try, with a couple of minutes to go, sends the game over. You also might have had the live line at halftime was Penrith minus 26 and a half. So Penrith was expected to win by, you know, 26 plus. And I thought they probably would from 18-0. I thought Parramatta might be shot. I was looking at like Penrith race to 30, Penrith race to 40. If you had any of those bets, if you had a Penrith any type of margin to win by 20 or more, you got sunk by a couple of backdoor tries. So they were out of the blue. It, you know, there's not really any moral victory for the Eels. I guess you can say they kept fighting till the end. I'll try and read any more comments you guys have got. That's pretty much me summing up, you know, what happened tonight. Unfortunately, we didn't get an exciting game of footy to end the season. But once again, just have to say congratulations to Penrith getting to win this competition in front of their home fans after last year, of course, winning it in a relocated grand final at Suncorp. So that's going to be sweet for them. They've been totally dominant, totally deserving. I'll go through some of your comments and then I'll just let you know some plans for the pod. So Thomas saying Panthers just too clinical. And that's the other thing. I kept looking for the Eels to offload the ball, and they did offload the ball more in the second half and throw caution to the wind. But I feel like Parramatta couldn't offload the ball barely in the first half because Penrith was getting numbers in the tackle. In every tackle, Penrith was getting serious numbers in. Sometimes Parramatta looked like they're threatened to get some momentum and then they get thrown backwards in the tackle. So you can't force an offload when you've got three or four in the tackle and the ball's totally wrapped up. So that just talks about how Parramatta has strength as their forward pack. They needed to win the ruck or at the very least play that even. But the Panthers won the ruck. And maybe that goes back to them being fresher, more physical. Of course, plenty of people that are just stoked that Edwards won the Clive. What's Jeffrey saying there? Football not worth watching when they go third umpire all the time. I mean, at the end of the day, we can say what we want about refereeing, but it certainly didn't decide this one. Yeah, just plenty of celebrations on the Clivey. Amazing effort from Eels to make the GF. Thomas says, don't improve next year, so it might be a while before they make it again. That's for sure with the Eels. Losing Reid Marnie. We'll see about Isaiah Papali'i. Sad end to the season, not enough fight in para, says Kieran. Yeah, the pod, says DL. The noise you heard was Parra's window closing. So, again, Blanchy talking about how Parramatta, this was probably their chance. And we felt that this was their chance. And would that inspire them? Well, they played with a hell of a lot of inspiration last week. You go back to how Parramatta won that game up in North Queensland, down 20-12, when you thought they were about ready to fold in that game. But they used up a lot of that spirit and inspiration 7 days ago, I think it's fair to say. Lee says, going to miss you this offseason. So, let me just tell you, Wednesday, going to have Tristan on. I'm not doing a Wide World of Punting interview series this summer, but we will do a one-off special episode Wednesday. I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to ask Tristan anything. So your chance to ask any questions to the CEO of one of the big bookmakers in Australia. They have been undergoing a few changes. The whole industry has. Tristan's going to get a chance to explain. You're going to get a chance to grill him. So I think anyone that's interested in the punting horizon and in the punting industry will be interested in this in-depth chat that I'm going to have with Tristan on Wednesday at the time you're used to having a pod. But fear not, because we have also locked in Rugby League World Cup preview pods. They're going to be once a week, starting not this week, but next week, previewing each week of the Rugby League World Cup and all the games. We're going to have some special markets, some special cameo tips, and a lot of the players that played tonight are going to be involved in the World Cup. It's really exciting seeing all of the talent and some of the talent spreading across many of the nations. So I am really excited about the Rugby League World Cup. Going to take a mini break before then, but I can tell you that we will be back with our Rugby League World Cup content. Just see if there's any more comments. Chris says Trent Barrett will sort Barrett out in 2023, but I think he's joking, just like I was joking about Jacob Arthurs being the difference, in case anyone wonders. Tom says, will Edwards make the Aussie squad? I think he will off the back of that, but I was thinking, to be honest, and this people might disagree with me because everyone loves Dylan Edwards, and so do I. We backed him, and you guys got on it, so that's perfect. But Teddy's the fullback for Australia, and Latrell's in the squad, and Latrell can cover fullback if Teddy gets injured. So do they really need Edwards? So I guess it just depends how big is the squad, because, you know, Ponga, he ruled himself out. He did have an outstanding Origin series but didn't play the rest of the NRL season. Tom Trbojevic is not coming back from his injury. I think that would be wrong, even if he was fit to play. I think Manly would be upset with that after he has missed some serious time. So, look, Edwards would be deserving of playing for Australia, but, you know, I don't know. I think people hate Latrell too, so people will probably comment and say Edwards is a better fullback than Latrell. I wouldn't go that far. I think people are just remembering, you know, what they saw last, which was an underwhelming performance by Latrell. And again, people will say, well, that shows he didn't deliver in the big games. But for me, there were reasons for that, I thought, possibly last week. And I can't deny the form that Latrell had when he was at his best. But hey, as I say, I'm not going to be disappointed. It will be interesting to see, like, people were saying, you know, does Sean Lane get in the Aussie squad? But how much does an underwhelming final game hurt your chances? And how much does a stormer of a game give you a chance to get in? So does someone like Martin get that spot instead? Big comment here from Mick. What's he said here? The Panthers side were half the Origin team, and Arthur only because it was 75 minutes. Of course, he was going to score. He had fresh legs. I was talking about the Arthur try. Go Panthers. Feed it to Para, no lube. Okay, I think you get the picture there from Mick. And appreciate Jeff. Thanks to everyone who has supported. Thank you to you if you've tuned in all season. It's a privilege to get to chat about this competition that I love watching and love trying to break down, love trying to find angles. I really appreciate it. I cannot believe we've had 8 full NRL seasons. This is now season number 8 of the NRL in the books, and we've had another 60-minute season. So really proud of what we've done. Thanks again to the Podonis, as I said on Wednesday, for all the effort and time that he has put in. And, you know, enjoy the NFL. If anyone gets up early for that tomorrow, we've got content tips for that. Podonis gives a mixed matchup for NFL. He's won 3 out of 3 at juicy odds. So he's still perfect. You can still get on that on Toppy tonight. I'll see you Wednesday with an in-depth chat with Tristan. And then I'll see you the following Thursday for Rugby League World Cup weekly previews. Cheers, guys. And enjoy the rest of your long weekend if you get the public holiday tomorrow. Congratulations, Penrith, and Lego.